Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel. I am Stacey June and I'm by myself today. I am introducing a summer series special. We have recapped through our favourite episodes of this year. It is really important to sit back, enjoy a lemonade. Maybe your cousin made it for you. I highly doubt that happens in Australia, but shout out to the American listeners. Or maybe it's a cocktail or a beer. And if, just in case you're wondering, gluten-free beer exists. Also, Corona and Kirin have way less wheat in them if you are a gluten-free person that is enjoying a cold summer beverage. But with further ado, is that what you said?
Without further ado, I'm still here. Shut up. I've always got your back, even when I'm not supposed to. Without.
Shh, this is my intro. Without further ado, please, without. Without further ado, you're going to get really over this intro because we are going to put it on repeat across the summer. We'd like to welcome you to this summer session, a recap of the interviews we've done this year. Welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel. I'm Stacey June.
And I'm Christy Mercer. Oh, welcome to the channel where you'll hear lots of different shows right across the week. And you've landed in the right place to do that. Click subscribe and they'll just rock up on your phone. Do people listen to shit on laptops or what? Wouldn't have thought so.
It's an option on the website if you are one of those people.
Or on your iPad if you're kicking around with one of those, a tablet.
Oh, God. It's large.
I feel like phones are not that far off. Those mini tablets and a big iPhone are basically the same thing these days anyway.
They are not.
Also, big week this week because our 411 podcast, which is the episode of the week where we chat about things that are going on that other people are talking about in the news, pop culture stuff, mm-hmm. that we're interested in, we kick off this week, the 411 being all about Batchy because the new season launches this week and we've launched a whole series of live shows, which we're super excited about at The Sheaf. If you are from Sydney, come with us because that's what everybody wants to do, have a chinwag about what's going on and who characters are, especially when the brat, you know, the, you know, even one of my mates, he's like, come around and watch the first season. I'm like, sorry, doll, we're doing our own event. Like,
so,
here
yeah.
I am competing with your event in your lounge room.
Well, the idea is you come watch it with mates at the pub, which will be at The Sheaf in Double Bay. We'll watch the episode with you, host the night, and then we will be recording a 411 live. So you can meet us, we'll say hello, and you'll be able to see how we record our podcast. Also, it's just going to be good fun.
Yeah, and if you're not in Sydney, we will be recording that podcast as per usual 411 that you can catch each and every week, talking batchy debrief stuff right yep. across the season because yep. we love it sick.
And if you're not so into it, well, no, you love it sick.
I love it sick.
I'm more interested. I'll be interested to see by the seventh or eighth week how I'm going.
You'll want to discuss deeper themes.
Well, I'm going to be looking at anything because this guy sounds like a flog, to be honest. So it'll be an interesting thing. So if you aren't into the batchy, I'm representing you guys.
Right, okay.
So I'm going to keep it as real as I can.
Let's introduce this week because, yes, we've got lots of big things. Mm. Big is the key word, yeah?
Yeah, we've got a very big week all dedicated to our very first attempt at conversations around motherhood.
Yeah, it's true. The Thinker Girls are growing up.
Oh my God, it is true. And legit, it's funny though, because there's been a couple of podcasts that we've had where these particular topics have come up, and one of us in particular has been approaching these interviews with a very different glance.
And when you say one of us, yes, you're talking about yourself.
That's right.
Stacey June over there.
That's right. So this week is all about mums and working and doing it in a millennial way and figuring out how to go about it. Jamila Ritzvie joins on the show. She was, I guess, the inspiration behind this. She's written a book called Motherhood that have all different Australian personalities talk about what they wish they had have known in the very first few months of having a baby.
And the cool through line about all those stories is nobody really knows what the F they're doing. Everybody does it very differently. And that's, I don't know, that's kind of a cool way of looking at things for us as we kind of step into this space where a lot of people around us are thinking about having kids, you in particular.
That's right. And Rachel Finch also joins us on the show, who talks about being a fairly young mum with a young family and how she integrates her family into her career. And she's doing it a different way. She's approaching it the way she wants to approach her life. And just because she had her kids didn't mean that she kind of addressed or looked into changing her life because of that. So that's a really interesting chat that we'll put up later in the week. But today's chat is about the fact that I think a lot of you would have followed, I guess, our journey, but in particular my journey of wanting to have a baby. And I'm very nervous talking about this. I have kept this very, very private and very personal for the majority of this year. Because when I think about it, it has been a very big journey. I've always wanted to be a mum and I've always wanted to have a baby. And on the show, even on the radio show when I was single, we would speak about and do different activities and things and ridiculous things to make me feel like I was pregnant. It's just so fucking hilarious to think about.
Remember we hooked you up to that machine where...
That was just cruel.
That was full on where you cried live on the radio show because we'd hook Stacey up to this contraction machine that we stuck these things in her tummy to give her the pain of what it feels like to be going through labor, because I was like, hey, we want to do a good thing here. I know you really want to have a kid, but also maybe these are some of the realities. But at the end of that, like, and even before I, way before I knew you, you said you would be bloated, which I mean is a bit dark because it harks back to maybe some endometriosis symptoms that were not known at that point in time, but you, how your tummy would bloat. And you said you would walk around and rub your stomach and think about how one day, not if, but when you're a mum.
That's right. So it's safe to say, and if you've known me for a long time, that has always been in my plans. There's lots of women that say, I'm not really sure if I ever felt that or I didn't have the maternal kick. You know, some of my best mates have kind of said, I don't know, will that come or blah, blah, blah. For me, it's always been very prevalent. So when I met Ben, my partner, it was a very big part of the conversation quite early on about a family and children. And one thing that I also haven't shared with you guys is that in Ben's late 30s, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, which means that there were a lot of operations and surgeries and different things that he had to go through. And one of them being that his sperm would all be frozen. And so the early conversations that we were having, as you all witnessed this beautiful relationship blossoming and looking, you know, pretty fun on the outside, we dug deep pretty quickly because...
So can you explain to everybody how far into your relationship
Well, before we had sex. So Ben was very, very open to me about the fact that if we wanted to have children, we could definitely try to have children, but we wouldn't be able to conceive naturally. And look, to be honest, even saying the words out loud and talking about it as a story and saying these kinds of things, I've been very in it and it's been very much my life. And you don't really think of it as a story because it is your life. And I kept it very, very personal. So I could really kind of keep focused on the important things. And the most important thing is about as how our relationship was going to evolve and how we were going to tackle something that was not as common as I knew. It's obviously very much more common now having gone through it. But yeah, it was something that I decided to keep very private. And it never, ever changed any way that I felt about Ben. And early days, I surprised myself at how much it was a very non-issue because I knew he was the father of my children. So that was fine, and we knew that we would get through that. And for all I knew, 6 months before I met him, I hadn't even met anyone that could give me children. So it was just so exciting to have met the father of my kids, and however we were going to go about that was just what was meant to be.
I remember that time.
Because I was very, very, yeah, very clear on that. Which
I remember that time. I remember your determination. Every time I'd see you, it was just like there was not any other way. There was not an option. Like the way that you would describe things and be like, yeah. So anyway, this is the way we're going to go about things and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was almost, I feel like from you, it was more of a you having to convince him that everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, that could have been a fair observation.
From the outer, that's what I just got this real kind of sense from you that it was kind of a bit written and you're my person, so how are we going to tackle this together?
Well, it's interesting because
it was never a you and me thing.
Yeah, and before you meet someone, before I'd met my person, and I hate to use the one word, but other people would say the one, I didn't quite understand how it worked because you live so singly, even when you're in relationships. I still think those relationships are very different to the way you approach life once you meet the actual person. And I always, even in past relationships, had felt this, single or in past relationships, had always approached, I guess, the idea of meeting someone, and you would still feel very singular. Do you know what I mean? Like you couldn't quite understand. But when I met Ben, and as difficult as that, I guess, on the outside would have presented like it was a difficult time, I didn't see it difficult because Ben was very clearly my person.
Mm.
So I all of a sudden took it on like, okay, well, that's now my story.
Yeah.
It just was very simple.
Yeah, that's what I mean by when you're like, okay, well, how are we going to, how are we going to do this? Or what does this mean for us? Or where are we going next?
Yeah. And so that was, and towards the end of last year, I became quite, I guess, inquisitive as to what the process would be. We'd been together for just under a year at that point, and he'd obviously gone through his own treatment, and that's his kind of story. So I'm going to stay a little bit away from that. But essentially, I was starting to get quite intrigued because I hadn't been through with him through that time. So obviously, we were going to have to approach all of these things. And at the end of the day, the person that is really having to approach a lot of it is me. And funnily enough, I set out with, you know, pretty much perfect fertility for my age. My endometriosis hadn't affected any of my insides. There was no endo in any of my tubes. I had a fairly good egg count. You know, I was looking pretty A+, I must say, Merce, in terms of the baby department, which is great. But obviously with the situation, sperm isn't getting in me. So, we approached the different options and did a lot of tests around how my fertility was landing and sitting, and we found we all had some pretty good results. There was a little surgery I had to have to get a cyst out, but that was about it. So then we decided that we would try the most, is it uninvasive? Is that a word? Uninvasive?
I think so.
Yeah. fertility treatment, which for us was IUI. And
what's that
to
for?
Give you a bit of a, oh, God, Merce.
Oh, mate, I don't know.
In vitro uterine.
Oh, okay. Which is not
Can
to
you
be
look
confu-
it up just so people
okay,
know,
Okay, but
actually.
That's not to be confused with IVF.
That's right.
Is it?
So because before I get to that point, and just for those of you listening so you can kind of get a bit of a time lapse here, I was in the fertility appointment with Ben to try to find out our options for the very first time in late November, or about November last year, the same day we were fired.
Oh my!
That's
did I know
where
that?
I was. Yes, but you were going through your own stuff. You were.
I moved house that day. I think.
Yeah, I came to your house after the fertility appointment, but
oh
I had
God.
Had that appointment
yeah, that's
that
right,
morning.
That morning. God, what a full-on.
Oh, anyway, so then by about. Oh, do you want to tell everyone what that means?
In intrauterine insemination.
Okay. Right. Yep, good eye.
Intro. Yeah, well, we've got to get the fact. It says that IUI is a fertility treatment that involves placing sperm inside a woman's uterus.
Yes, yes, yes. So in about, I don't know, we got engaged at the end of the year, and in about March I said to Ben, oh, well, we might as well give it a go. Like, I don't know how long this is going to take.
And by it you mean have a baby.
Well, yeah.
Just clarifying for y'all.
That's how I approached it. You watched me. I was like, we both want to have kids, and I have no idea how long this is going to take. So it's just the same as a couple starting. This is the hard thing with us. It essentially should be the same as you just starting to not use condoms and see what happens. That's most couples that are thinking about starting to conceive will go, let's just stop using protection and then we'll see where we land.
And for some people, it might happen really quickly, and for other people, it might take a really long time.
But the problem is we couldn't do that. We had to go in and have tests, ovulation tracking, and make appointments with doctors. It's a very different process for us. So when I say let's get it done, I mean let's press go on a very, very invasive and personal and difficult kind of approach, but that's why I approached it like that, because I was like, let's give this a go, let's just get on with it, like this is the way we have to do it. No, we can't have sex and then see what happens on a day that your ovulation's tracked, you know, on an app on your phone, and then you might go to a doctor if you're lucky to get pregnant. We had to go to 48,000 appointments, and it was just a very different journey for us. So because we had to do that, it was almost like I was like, can we just have a go at this? Like, because who knows what we're going to get, what to expect. I got no idea. But we were ready for a baby.
But hang, are you thinking at that point, like, do they give you odds? I know it's not the casino, but are they like, there's a 1 in 100 chance? Like, what are the...
There is statistics, which I'll let you look up yourself.
Oh,
there's
okay.
So many different... There. I mean, from a person that has been through this process and has read forums and articles, there's just so much different information, and I don't want this podcast to be about that today. I just don't think I could even, you know, I don't know. There's just different statistics, different years depending on what you're doing, different statistics if you take the hormones when you do IUI. It's so... I hear podcasts and sometimes I'm like, that's not true, because that's true to your experience.
But it's a pretty unlikely thing that you would go and be like, yay.
That correct.
Yeah.
It's under 20% mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was looking pretty healthy and my fertility count and all those kinds of tests were coming through. But at the same time, I kind of thought we'd give 4 goes of IUI, see how we go before we then have to think about IVF. Okay.
Yeah.
That's where my head was at.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, you have to go into the place, you get ovulation tracking, which means you get blood tests kind of every single day for like 10 days leading into when they think you ovulate.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the tests and things that I had from November to March in this time. And also, just to give you a perspective, it wasn't doing so well. You know, we'd been fired and we'd started this channel, but there'd been some kind of tough times. But this was essentially, I don't know, I looked at it as the good part of my life, like the fun part. Like, I'd found my man, I'm just so gagging to have kids with him. Let's just kind of rewrite this and have a crack. So we did that. We found out the day we were ovulated, you go in and they call you that morning. You're like, the days around it, they're like, okay, it could be Sunday, it could be Friday. But they basically track your ovulation down to almost the hour, like half day.
They're when like, your eggs are coming down.
Yes, when tubes. You are ovulating and you're ready for the sperm to meet. This is why you pay the big bucks for it. It's not as expensive as IVF, but it's still a lot of money. If you go private, it costs you like, you know, between 2 and 4 grand.
Jesus.
And you go in and they'll call you. And they said to me on Friday, okay, you're getting pretty close. Because they test your bloods and they try and see different levels of where you are, and it changes according to where you are in your cycle. So without getting too technical, so mine was starting to look like they were getting closer to ovulation on about the Friday. I went again on the Saturday morning, nothing yet. They said, oh, let's have a go on the Monday. Went in the Monday, said it's probably going to be tomorrow. So you just are like, fuck, ready to basically get impregnated. Then Monday at about, I guess, midday, they called me and they said, you're on, come back in.
Oh, God.
11 a.m. And they said, we need you back in by 2.
The second time.
For the day you get pregnant, the day you try. And let's just remember, Ben's sperm's never been in me. I mean, I don't want to go into too much detail. Can still do what he needs to do in the bedroom. Just nothing's coming out.
Oh, that's stunning. I mean, that's one upside, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Very good.
I'm
Let's
so into
just
that.
Saying. It's very, very clean.
Yeah, love
very
it.
Very good.
He's
anyway.
generally quite a clean person, and this just confirms it.
Anyway, so we went in, we did all of our approach to it. Ben touched the tube. We asked to put his energy on there. They were so excited. The scientist was so lovely. She said, we've defrosted some sperm. It is a really full-on process, which I guess I am looking into different ways of how we might tell this story a little bit more elaborate. But because there's just so many elements. And for those of you that aren't looking to get pregnant, whatever, it's probably not that interesting. But if you are a person looking to get pregnant, you want all of the info, which I did. But I won't go into all those details today. But essentially, you go in and, you know, it's basically a turkey baster, except with a lot of medical people in there. And they defrost the sperm. Ben's sperm's been frozen for years. And they essentially, you know, then put it inside you. You can watch in the little computer. You can watch it be squirted in there. And we asked for Ben to hold it so he could just kind of put his energy behind it and just let his little swimmers get right up there, Merce.
So,
and it was the fucking best day. It was the best day. There was music on and the doctors were awesome and we were so excited and we came home and had sex because we've read that, you know, if I orgasm, like you get things moving and he had the rest of the day off and we were just so excited.
Wow.
Oh my God. And it was so fun. We made it our own and it was, and I will never change it. It was the first day that, you know, essentially a couple of weeks later you get a blood test and I felt pregnant. I didn't say to anybody, but I felt very positive. And I didn't know that I felt that, but I felt very positive. Like I just was having a good time.
Okay.
Like it just all felt really good. And a couple of weeks after you get the blood test, I think it was like maybe 2 and a bit weeks, but I was in the chemist and it was like, and I'd never had a pregnancy test because I've told you I've never been pregnant. I never went through that or, you know, I never had to get rid of a baby or I had maybe one scare in all of my life of being sexually active.
Oh God.
I know.
Value pack upon value pack.
Yeah, no.
From freakouts.
And so I looked at the latest and they were like, you can find out if you're pregnant 7 days before your period. Mm. Like, and I was like, holy shit, 7 days, jeez. So then I bought it.
And you're not supposed to.
Well,
do that.
They say don't. Yeah.
Blah, blah.
But they also say, which I found out later, was if your lines come up, you can't get a fake positive. You can get a fake negative,
but you
can't get a fake positive because if you've got the pregnancy hormone in you, you're pregnant.
It's in your urine.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it's early days. So a lot of people might go away or something happens. It's very, very, it's like hour by hour at this point with the sensitivity.
And how are you feeling at that point? Like every time I would be walking past a chemist, as you say, you're excitable, you're feeling good. Are you having to almost hold yourself back from going into every chemist that you go past to buy a pregnancy test?
No, because like I said, we just kind of gave it a crack. Like it was exactly the same as you would if you were like, I'm not really sure if I want a baby this second, but I'm going to just stop doing condoms. And if we end up pregnant, then great. But we're not desperate for it yet. Like we know there's time. It was kind of like that. So, and we were doing our own thing. I was really unsure about what was happening with my career. You know, I just was kind of, we did it as a let's have a try, but it wasn't really anything that we kind of banked on, I suppose. And so, but when I did see it, because I had to go get that weird asthma puffer, remember? And I was
I remember that when you had your
that weird cough.
Week of asthma.
Yeah. Anyway, as I was waiting for that, because I'm never in the chemist unless I have to get dry shampoo on an emergency. That's the only time.
Yeah.
I saw this test. So I got it. And then the test was, we could get the test on the Wednesday. This was Sunday. And I got it about a week before because it said you could get a week before. And I thought, no, the accuracy went ridiculously high 3 days before. So in the back of my mind, I didn't tell anyone. I told Ben I bought it. It was on the kitchen table.
I think remember you seeing saw it. It.
Yeah.
And it was unopened.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so on the Sunday, it was within that 3 days because I would have been impregnated Monday. So it was 1 day before essentially. And I did the test on a Sunday afternoon just before Ben's best mate came over and 2 lines came straight up. I was pregnant.
Talk to me about that feeling. Like when you saw the 2 lines, like what's your brain? Are you like?
I still feel happy.
Yeah.
And safe to say, to cut a long story short, I then miscarried at, it would have ended up being at 11 and a half weeks. But the really sad part about this was when we went first to get our first scan, which is where you hear a heartbeat or you hope to hear a heartbeat. And it's much earlier for people that do fertility treatment. They just watch you a little bit closer.
Yeah.
Ours was at about just before 8 weeks. We didn't have a heartbeat. And I really wanted to tell the story leading into the pregnancy because I feel like you jump straight to the miscarriage and it's this. Mm. And you miss that bit. Mm-hmm. I don't get to tell that bit much. Of all the good things that happened.
Yeah.
It was nice to have the impregnant part and it was nice to fall pregnant and it was nice to feel pregnant and be excited by that. And Ben and I were so excited and I just think sometimes with the miscarriage stuff, because there's so much grief and it is very, very, very sad and very, very hard. And it changes you. And because it does all that stuff, often that part of the story is not told. And I think that's why I wanted to share that part too, because...
Well, it's all part of the story.
Yeah,
too.
And I think that part is, you know, it's so early, so often you're not telling everybody. Like, a lot of people did know because of the way we had to go about it. Mm. Obviously, my testing and things started so much earlier than just a quick fuck. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like months in the planning for just to have a go. But the heartbeat, look, I think the greatest thing that I've learnt from this experience was I already had a good idea of who I was in my body and that trust of instinct. But there is nothing that will put it to the test like a person that can see life or death literally happening in their life.
And what do you mean by that, that trust of and that instinct?
About a week before I stopped feeling pregnant.
And can you put that into words or not really?
Well, it can be pretty physical. Like my boobs just stopped hurting as much and I felt less nauseous, but also my mind changed. So all of a sudden I turned a bit scared. Like it was the very first time about on the Friday, I found out I think on a week after. So it was exactly a week before, or maybe the Wednesday I found out. The Wednesday I found out. So on the Friday before, I started to be like, oh, how am I going to work out this with work?
Whereas like, before that point, were you frightened at all?
Not at all. Like I was like, and I'd said to you, we will make this work.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I want. If things are supposed to work career-wise or otherwise, they will fall around this. Like we're not going to be these women that fall into this category of freaking out about having children in careers. Like I just don't want to be that. And I've had such inspirational women around me. My best mate, particularly, big shout out to her, who's just been so integral and inspiring to watch the way she's kind of gracefully demanded support, you know, not, and I'm not meaning support by picking up the kids, just in an understanding that these are my choices. And I'm the only one that can have this baby. So, and I'm very good at what I do. The end. Like they just have to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's just, I was very keen to kind of mirror that and really focus. So yeah, no, I hadn't thought that until that point. And I knew that was weird. And I thought, well, maybe eventually you get a bit scared. And I thought it was just that. And then I started to feel different. And I FaceTimed some friends overseas who were quite fuck-eyed and they were ecstatic about the baby
and I'd already told them. Had you had that feeling at that point, the scared?
I did on the Friday feeling? Yeah, and I FaceTimed them on the Sunday and they were so ecstatic saying, I can't believe you have a little baby and you're whatever. And Merce, I gotta tell you, there was something in me that was like, I didn't feel that spark. I wasn't like, yeah, there is something had gone. Something had gone.
But at that point, what are you like? Because that's how you're feeling.
I didn't know at the time.
But that's how you're feeling emotionally, right? And you're feeling in your body.
Yeah.
But what's your brain telling you at that point?
You're not thinking anything. I knew the scam was coming up. But
are you dismissing those feelings? Are you going, don't attract it?
You don't think that they're not conscious until you look back. You don't really. And that's what I mean by intuition. Now I look back. I don't know if you can look at them in the moment, but I do look back and go, wow, how powerful are we? Because honestly, the day before we had the scan, I had a panic attack in the cab on the way back from Sunrise for no reason. And then the Wednesday was the day we found out we had no heartbeat. So look, for a lot of people, no heartbeat early days isn't such a bad thing. Sometimes they can get the dates wrong. Sometimes they can maybe have done the scan too early, or maybe you're earlier in your pregnancy and the bubby hasn't been able to grow a heartbeat yet. And that's what the scan person tried to tell us. But I knew...
To give you hope that maybe it's not over.
Yes, because we went back for another one. And she even went down to the point where she said, this happened to me. Mm. And I said, what are the percentages of it actually having a heart. She said 50-50, which I think she was very mistaken to do, because if she had have looked at our file, she would have seen that, you know, that is for couples that potentially have sex and get a bit confused as to when the actual insertion happened. Whereas for us, we could tell you the date and the time because we did IUI. So it was very considered and deliberate, and we knew the exact time. So there's no way our dates could have been out because of the way we fell pregnant.
So
we had to go back for another scan, and then I had to wait. I decided to wait to see if I would be able to miscarry naturally. And I didn't, so I had to go in. I made the decision that I couldn't go beyond 12 weeks. So just before 12 weeks, I made the decision to go and get the D&C, which is a procedure very similar, you know, to what you do if you're trying to get rid of a baby yourself voluntarily.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Talk to me about that time when you had gone back for that, the first scan, as you said, you're knowing in your gut that maybe this is not the news, you know, like that it's not over, but that you're not wanting to get your hopes up too much because there's something in you that's telling you that the spark's gone.
Mm.
When you say to, I think this is a part of miscarriage and pregnancy that as somebody that, I mean, I've got two mates that have babies, but you know, I haven't got friends like you that I'm mega close with that I've been with through the journey of trying. Like my mates kind of just fell pregnant at the end, you know.
Mm. And a lot of them won't tell you about this part.
And not a lot of people I know mum's had a miscarriage. I remember her telling me when I was a kid, and I know lots of women, you know, a lot of women do. But I suppose the logistics around even when you say to miscarry naturally –
well, you have to wait.
That's not a part of miscarriage. Everyone's just like, oh, that's so awful. But then logistically.
It was terrific for me because I knew I had a baby that was, or a pregnancy that was non-progressive, and I had to wait for that to leave my body. And it was almost a month until it did. So it was horrific. There's nothing else to say. And the grief. I had no idea what that kind of grief would look like. In fact, I thought that I would grieve and it would be gone. And I remember I said this on the podcast a few weeks ago, but I've never understood that grief to this level or to any real level when it's really something very close to you. I again was quite naive, or I'd never experienced it. So you think if you haven't met this little being that was barely a little prawn size, that there's no way I could possibly compare that kind of grief to, say, my best mate losing her mum, or, you know, I just kind of thought there will be grief, and I don't want to say there's not, but I just thought, my goodness, that couldn't possibly be the same. I don't have a song that we have in common, or I don't have a birthday to remember, or I don't have this private joke that I shared with them, you know. So I just couldn't compare this grief to be similar to grief of people that have been living.
Because you don't know them yet.
But fuck me dead. It was that and then some. It was, and I think in some ways it's harder because you don't have that. And you almost feel like you can't grieve because you don't have that. And I was incredibly, incredibly smacked in the face with shock of the amount of grief that followed. It is horrendous. And if you are going through this or you have gone through this, like, I stand by you. It is a secret club. And it's not stuff you can really put into words. You cannot explain that grief. You cannot explain the grief of an unborn child. Or your hopes. And I stayed pretty, like, we had this little being until 11 weeks and it grew up until about, I think, 8.5, 9. I was very, like, about that. I wasn't kind of thinking, imagine it's 10th birthday. And if that was you, that's fine. But for me, I really tried to contain it. Mm-hmm. And it didn't change it. Mm-hmm. Didn't change it at all. I don't really have a name, or I didn't go through that process. And all I can say is I'm so grateful I'm a spiritual person, because I do believe in reincarnation. I do believe we're all here for a reason. I do believe that potentially I may see this little being again, or perhaps this little being only had to be here for, 12 weeks. I don't know the answers to that bit yet, but I know that it isn't my fault, and I know that there's something bigger going on than me, and I am grateful every day that I have a sense of spirit, because without that, I don't know how you sit alone with that kind of pain. I had something bigger to look at, something bigger that was beyond me to believe in. And if you didn't have that belief, then that is a dark place I wouldn't wish upon anybody. Nah. So, yeah, that's, I guess, a story, and we are enjoying being newly married, and we will try again at some point, but we are going to just enjoy and focus on our early marriage for now, and just have a good mm-hmm. time with that, and still heal a little bit from those wounds, because, like I said, it can smack you in the face any day, really catches you, and it's very different. And I'll talk about this on another show, but it is also very different. It's a very different grief you experience to your partner. And that is also something incredibly straining to put on your relationship. And Ben and I, it has been very early days for us to go through, moving in, getting engaged, one of us getting fired, merging income and then falling pregnant first go, which is a beautiful miracle, and then losing that baby and then getting married. Like, it's been intense. So
the
it's
first
time
his sperm's ever been in you, you fell pregnant.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's magic. And that is Ben and I. I do believe that was a good thing. And I believe my body wasn't used to being pregnant, and it needed to have a bit of a practice. And I know that we'll find our baby. I have full faith in that, in whichever capacity that happens. But just need a bit of a time to enjoy each other and just kind of get ourselves back on track, I guess.
I suppose it's interesting, like you said a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, when we, going back to that grief conversation, and I think something that you said that really stuck with me was speaking about grief as not this stage where you're like, oh, well, I think it was like, how long does it take to grieve a breakup? And you were like, well, is there an end date to any form of grief? Losing someone, a miscarriage, a family member, some kind of physical trauma. And I, I don't want to speak on behalf of you, but I feel like, I don't know, do you feel like there is this pressure to, to heal fully, or like
a little
to
bit.
Bounce
for,
back?
For
or
a
like,
miscarriage, right, yes, because I feel
go.
Like, well, because, yeah, for two reasons, exactly that. Yeah. For the fact that we can't, it wasn't here with us, so it's very hard to share that grief with people, and you've got your partner, but again, it is a very different experience. And then the other one is you can have another go, even the amount of people that said people that miscarry, because it is very, very, very common. So a lot of people were saying to me, give it another go, because apparently you're more fertile. All of these were kind of, it's here nor there, like a lot of my fertility were like, yeah, look, it's a bit of this, a bit of that. Like, it really is just going to be about what's best for you. And I know that sounds cliche, But a lot of people were saying, you know, go again, go again. And we could have. We had time before we were going to New York to go again. I looked at Ben and I was like, what are you? And we were just like, nah. We need some time. Even if it means I'm more fit, I don't care. Like, it's not. No, we don't. For us, we don't need to. We're early stages in our relationship. And, you know, for others, it might be that's what I need to do. I need to keep rolling because now's the time. We've made a decision. For us, we weren't even really sure we would fall pregnant. So we've got a little bit more time, I think. But yeah, so I think this week, as we go through the motherhood stories and we talk to Jamila about how, you know, interesting it was she fell pregnant and didn't mean to. So how that affected her and Rachel about how she integrates motherhood. In a really different twist, we wanted to be able to share our first lot of experience that we've shared with motherhood through me and my now early stages of trying to have a baby. And the fact that their stories are very beautiful and they've got children and they're happy, but there is this story too in this part.
But that is part of Motherhood Week.
That's
right. Because you are a mum.
Yeah.
You had life inside of you. Yeah. And that's what being a mum is.
Yeah.
And
you feel like it too.
Yeah.
You've changed. And I haven't thought too strongly about the last probably month or so because I've been very focused on getting married and tried to just, I don't know, just give myself a bit of a break. It's very painful. But at the same time, it's a part of me and it makes you, God, there's no wonder men are worried about feminism because I'm like, we could fucking take over the world. Fuck yeah. Honestly, and I haven't even given birth or done any of that. But in the absolute early taste that I've had, I'm like, wow, I thought I was pretty powerful before.
Yeah.
Now I've got these magical powers. It is pretty astonishing. And also, furthermore, it's pretty astonishing that we did fall pregnant on the very
magic
first attempt. Look, so lots to be positive about.
I think, yeah, it is cool this week to be looking at motherhood in different ways, shapes, forms. Mm. And, you know, exactly as you've been telling, like, and especially as Jamila's book is, all these different stories, it doesn't look one way.
That's right.
And one baby or mum doesn't look one way and one miscarriage doesn't look one way.
Yeah.
But I continually applaud your, I feel like bravery is like a bit of a, I don't know, like an easy word to go to, but I think your bravery in doing everything your way. And I think, I don't know, giving yourself, I don't know, the space and time to process something and then come out the other side and realize that there's a real powerful message here. Because, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what you do for a job. And I know our kind of line of work, it's different in that you might feel compelled to share everything straight away because it's what you do, and in a way maybe that's the way that you process things and heal things, and maybe in the past that's what we've done, you know, because you're thinking about this bigger message or some good that you can get out of something so horrific. But I think you've done what you and you in and Ben in particular have always done. You've just been your own little unit and dealt and processed and given yourself the space to do what you guys need to do and make a really right decision.
Yeah, and
for
it feels,
you in a relationship and for you as a person, and that's what I think is brave.
And I thank you, but I think for me really this, I think this, I am sharing this for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the first time, like, yeah, often we do lots of things, but I don't really have much reason other than sharing it for another person that might be struggling or has been through this. Because it's just something that's happened and it is incredibly personal and very hard to put into words. To both of us, to Ben and I, it's personal. But I do wish I had have had more in front of me that I could have gone to. I felt very alone, very, very alone. So, I hope that potentially this makes somebody feel a little less alone.
I have no doubt it will.
Yeah, I really do. Because, I think that's why I wanted to share.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to wait till I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it is a very, 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 very lonely path. So you aren't alone. It gets better. and grief doesn't end. I wish someone had told me that. And the grief for a miscarriage will be the same as a grief of someone incredibly substantial to you. Mm. And so I also think it's important that people would be triggered around me, Merce. Like people that were thinking about having babies or whatever could almost not talk to me too. Look at it in the face. Look at miscarriage in the mirror. You know, stand up to it. It is terrifying and it is very hard, but it is very common. And I didn't really think it would happen to me. And I'm not saying that you want to go in focusing or fearful of it, but I do think we need to lift. And a lot of people are saying this more recently, but we do need to lift the curtain off it because it does need to come a little bit more unified rather than so isolated when it's happening to so many of us.
Even as somebody to be there as a mate trying to support and watch, like as you say, it is such a non-spoken about taboo kind of, I don't want to say the wrong thing. So there were times where I was like, I'm trying to lean in, but I don't know how.
Yeah, it's
so
tough.
If you're listening to this and you know someone that's going through or has gone through a miscarriage or you yourself, like, you know, you don't even have to do it in a public way where you tag them in a post. Maybe just send them a text or a link or give somebody the heads up.
Or even just flowers. Like, yeah. I know that sounds a bit naff, but it means that people don't necessarily need to write back. Like, give something unconditional. Don't come in expecting a text back or, you know, expecting them to return your call, or they just need to grieve how they will. And if they want to call you after they get flowers or they get a letter or something that is really unconditional is the best thing, because it is very, very, very personal and it's very hard to share. Like, it's not easy. So just give love and don't have any expectations of anything in return. I think that would be my suggestion for this one. Because sometimes you just don't want to talk about it. It's too hard. It's too hard. But yeah, the rest of the week we will have different mothers on. Yeah. And
Jamila is up tomorrow.
Yep. Rachel Finch
later in the week.
And we're also going to have a bonus special across the weekend of Juliet Allen, who joined us as a sexologist, who talked about how you approach your body when you aren't well, or maybe you've miscarried, or maybe you've got chronic pain or endometriosis. Because I asked her this question after miscarrying and we kept it for this time, and it might help, because sex and those kinds of things after these types of things are also a very difficult thing to approach. You feel like you've lost your body a little bit. So we'll put that up later on in the week.
Yep. It's a big week. Get around it. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. Thank you. And we will also be live this week.
Oh, shit. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, at the Sheaf in Double Bay as The Bachelor begins. So if you do want to come and bring your mates and watch the show and then listen to the 411 after, we'll put all the details up on socials. But take care, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
If you love this podcast but you want to chat about it more, make sure you go to the Thinker Girls on Facebook, that's obviously us, and Insta, because that's where we're going to be continuing this convo with you, Posse.
Yes, we want to know what you think, Posse. So every week we'll be breaking down our podcast content across social media so you have an opportunity to share your opinions.
Plus, we're on Insta stories every damn day, so you get to come along with us for this crazy TG ride.
Yeah, Merce. Head to Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or even Twitter to find us.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.